Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave, and behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were on their way, some of the guards came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, "You are to say, 'His disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble.'" And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And the story was widely spread among the Jews, as is to this day. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, just so grateful and thankful, Lord, that we can gather today to go into your word and seek your face and seek out your heart, Lord. We ask that you come and speak to us, give us revelation, Lord, give us revelation and inspire us and give us hope, Lord, in you as we start out this day. We thank you, Lord. Pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right, so this chapter begins with the two Marys, Mary Magdalene and Mary of Bethany, and they're coming back to the tomb, right? Which is kind of, on first glance, like, oh, why did they come back already? Usually after, you know, your deceased loved ones or friends, after you bury them, that's it, right? Then you're off to, you will probably wouldn't go again and for another year, but yet they come back. So in Luke 24:1, it says, "On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared." So they brought spices. So the reason they came back was, I guess, during the process of burying the dead, they didn't quite finish, but then it was Sabbath. So this is, so for the Jews, Sabbath would encompass pretty much Saturday. So they're coming back Sunday, and I guess they were still gonna, they brought these spices to, I guess, further, you know, cover up the smell and whatnot. So that's why they came. It was not out of great faith that they came, like hopeful to see the Messiah, but they came simply to take care of, I guess, what they thought was Jesus' dead body. But as they came, it says in verse 2, Behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. So an angel shows up. So I don't know, as he showed up, I don't know if there was a literal earthquake, maybe, because that maybe when something supernatural shows up, you know, a natural manifestation is a crazy earthquake. Or it could have been simply that earthquake sound was, as it was described, the boulder was being rolled away. So that is the rumbling. And it describes his appearance as lightning, right? So I know in our heads, usually we think of angels. And when I think of angels and I pray for Danielle and I pray and I kind of just thank the angels that are guardian angels that are watching over her, I imagine these cute little angels. And I always think if I ever made an angel, it'd be kind of like that, like very nice, maybe some like, was it like chiming sounds? All very, what we would say, very angelic, right? But what's described here is not anything very peaceful. It's like first there's this severe earthquake, and then his appearance is described as lightning. I mean, if you've ever seen lightning, it's violent, right? It's not like this peaceful thing. And of course, as always, the first thing the angel says to the woman is, do not be afraid, right? And part of me always thinks, would I really be afraid? But then I think, oh, if you've ever experienced like an earthquake, like not even that bad, like I've been in an earthquake and the building's shifting, there is like sudden fear, right? Like, oh, or even just construction sometimes, a loud sound, boom, and you're like, oh, like, even if you know what it is, like, you know, there's always construction in Soho, you know, the kung, kung, kung. It's like really unpleasant, right? It's not like, oh, okay, that's that. They're making buildings. It's like, oh, I really don't like that loud sound. So it seems like the natural response when we see something so supernatural is actually fear. And then the angel right away acknowledges, in some ways, these ladies, Mary and Mary, their unbelief. Because Jesus has been teaching the disciples that he will die and then resurrect. And then right away he says to them, I know that you're looking for Jesus who has been crucified. You're here to search for Jesus' dead body. And he says, he is not here. For he has risen, just as he said, right? So he's clearly already informed them, or Jesus has informed them that he's not going to be there, right? On the third day, he will resurrect. So he addresses, in some ways, their unbelief. And then he says, come see the place where he was lying. So you would think already that an angel shares to you, like, hey, Jesus is alive, right? You think that would be enough, right? I would think that would be enough for me if an angel just like spoke to me, lightning angel came and spoke to me. But yet the angel still invites Mary and Mary to come over and come into the tomb and basically see for themselves that Jesus is no longer there. And it made me think, yeah, like, that's what, as much as I'd like to say I'm a man of faith, right, and whatever I hear is enough for me, whatever I read in the Bible, but the truth is I need more, right? And the angel addresses that. Even though he's, like, already a supernatural being that cannot be explained, yet for Mary and Mary, not only did they have to hear, but they actually had to see and experience for themselves, right? And I think that's what, if we're to humble ourselves, that's what we need. As much as we'd like to say, oh, I live by faith, not by sight. And I think it's great that we would strive for that. But yeah, we need to experience and see for ourselves sometimes, right? As much as I would like to just hear about amazing healing testimonies. I want to see it. In fact, I want to experience it, right? And I don't think it's just a matter of, oh, so I can witness miracles, but I want to experience God as real. And last week, I was super sick. And like Wednesday through Friday, I couldn't, my head was so congested. I just couldn't focus as I was preparing for the sermon. And then simply grace just came over at the end of the day on Friday. She put the anointed scarves that we got from Bobby Connor. And she just laid it on my chest. And she, very quick, it was like as I'm walking out, she's like, oh, I'll pray for you in Jesus' name. And then next morning was the first day that my mind was actually clear. And I was like, not just glad my head was clear, it's like a sermon prep, but I was like, oh, God, you did it, right? What before I just couldn't, and you just healed me. So what's cool here, too, is as after that, then the angel instructs Mary and Mary, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And then the response of the two ladies is that they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. This is the obedience we want, right? They ran, number one. Number two, they did it with great joy. And number three, there was fear. Like, it's kind of funny, like, fear and great joy, right? But I think that's what we, as we obey and live out the life that Jesus has called us to live, and as he calls us to do things, there should be a fear of the Lord that we need to obey. There's great joy because we are fulfilling his work, and we need to run. We shouldn't just, oh, it'd be funny, like how most church people sometimes, and we're prayerful when we ask people to do stuff too, but the response is, oh, let me pray about it. And I don't know how many times people actually pray about it. But it'd be funny if, like, angel came and then Mary's like, let me pray about it, right? Kind of ridiculous. And also good to note is, and this is how you know also that the significance of women in the Bible, the first two people that received the revelation that Jesus was alive was two women. And where shortly after, Jesus appears, and the first two people is these two women, right? All the other disciples, they're in hiding, not feeling shame, right? Unwilling to go public. These two women, willing to go public with the courage to say, hey, I know this Jesus, right? And thus, they were the two first to be revealed. Low on time, but I'll share one more point. And so, not only was the two Marys able to witness this angel, but there were guards who witnessed this too, right? And they were. They said they were so scared, they're like dead people. They couldn't move, couldn't do anything. And they reported it to the chief priests. And the chief priests, so they know what happened at that point. They know that Jesus is the Messiah, right? He's died, they know, and then he was resurrected. So they know this actually happened. And this is where, you know, on Sunday I shared about there's that repugnant light. So they're faced with the light, right? They know it's real and they cannot face it. And yet there's this response. They know it's true. They know it's real. And their response is not like, oh, he's the Messiah. Let's go find him. Praise God. Instead, they decide to cover it up. And it's the worst cover-up ever. Because the cover-up is, let's cover it up by saying that we were all asleep and then disciples took him away. So it's like every single guard was asleep? Is that possible? Maybe. But then if every single guard was actually asleep, how did they know it was the disciples that took him away? So it's like, it doesn't fully make sense. But that's the story that they went with. And it says it was the story that they went with to this day. So I'd like to invite Janella up. I would have liked to get to the end, but maybe save that for next week. And I think what I want to really focus on is Mary and Mary's radical obedience and the response that she had. It says that they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. Fear and great joy. And ran to report it to his disciples. Do we, as we are called, as we are called to obey, and many of us were serving in certain ministries right now, do we carry that same response that Mary Mary also responded with? Fear. I think fear that they carried this great responsibility and needed to fulfill it. This great joy that they could, you know, be used and to share with the disciples, and that they would really just run. And there's one more note. Is when Jesus meets and appears before Mary and Mary, he says to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." So this is actually the first time that Jesus speaks to the disciples, or speaks of the disciples, and calls them brethren. Before, he called them by name, but this was the first time he called them my brethren. He saw my brothers. You know, they've basically kind of deserted Jesus and deserted the teachings that he taught. And yet, in this moment of resurrection and where he reappears, he calls them brothers, my family, right? And I think because of the way he really has embraced us as brothers, and now that we're adopted into his family, and has shown his goodness to us, that's why we can really just serve him in the same way, with fear, with joy, and with and even the speed in which we respond to his obedience would be to run. So let's just go before the Lord. Offer him our hearts.
that you, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. You were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your spirit lives within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love. That you, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you. My King would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true, that it's my joy to honor you in all I do.
Take a minute just to reflect and remember the cross and what Jesus did, and give thanks. I read somewhere someone compared it to, Jesus was the price that was paid, and he was the payment for our sins, and the resurrection was the receipt. The receipt was an acknowledgement that of the payment that was received. It was accepted. So let's just take a moment, give thanks for what was done on the cross. Let's turn to the screens and let's cover our community in prayer, those who are those loved ones that we have in our community who are going through cancer, as well as chemo and radiation therapy and surgery. Let's pray for God's power and love to touch these people, to restore them of the cancer and other infirmities. next page. Let's cover our community that's suffering from illness, but they also need the word of salvation. Let's pray that God really gives them open and receiving hearts, and God would just reveal himself to them through dreams, visions, but even, of course, through loved ones, that the light of Jesus would be shine in their light, in their lives. Also cover our community that's suffering from infirmities, that they would continue to be hopeful and continue to seek out the Lord for his healing touch upon their lives. Also cover our community who's seeking jobs right now. Yes, let's cover them for God's favor upon them, for God's leading as to what job and what to do. Okay, let's cover our Thursday community prayers. Let's lift up first Singapore, as well as SPSG with Pastor Sam Kim and Annie. And let's also cover Indonesia in our Indonesian SP ministry spin with Pastor Salamat and Mimi. Pray for prayer and healing ministries, the intercessory prayer ministry with Matt, the well with Pastor Ricky, and the river, our inner healing ministry with Rachel. Let's pray for the team, that the team would continue to expand, and there would be quality, you know, new members to come and join and serve as well. Cover education ministries, Noah's Ark with P. Mary and Yi Ling. Let's cover SP Youth with Pastor Nate and SPU with Pastor Andrew. Let's pray for wisdom for the teachers of, in terms of, you know, what infrastructure and systems to put in place, as well as protection and safety for the students as well. come to our Thursday outreaches. Let's pray for SP Lights and Homie that they would really be the salt and the light of Jesus as they go out. Pray that there would be just as in the verse we went over today, that there would be such fear of the Lord, but as well as joy as they go out to serve the people, and that they would impact the people that they interact with. Cover the house churches today. Let's pray for Elements and Olympic House Church, that they would have a wonderful time talking about the light, and there'd just be such deep sharing and opening of also what has occurred in their lives that has really come against them, experiences to be that light that God intended them to be. Yes, Father God, we thank you for this chapter and this offering your Son as payment for our sins, Lord. And Jesus, you're so loving and relational. You know, you didn't have to, even for the disciples, you, after just dying on the cross and resurrecting, you didn't need to come back, but yet you still chose to come back and spend time with Mary and the disciples, and to continue to meet them where they were at, Lord, in their faith. And even though oftentimes we have these amazing supernatural experiences with you, and even then, at times we have doubts still, Lord, that you would still just receive us into your arms and encourage us and just love us, Lord, unconditionally. We thank you for all you did on the cross and what you are just doing to reveal your love to us in our lives continuously every day, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we would continue to see how you are moving in our lives and how much you love us, and that we would be able to respond in gratitude through you know, joy, Lord, and also fear. We thank you, Lord. I pray just bless us, Lord. Bless everyone here today, Lord, to carry out your will, Lord, with incredible joy. And would you bless our spirit to connect to the Holy Spirit and stay connected, Lord, throughout the whole day, and just to lead us in every way through our mind, body, and soul. We thank you, Lord. Pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great day, everybody. And feel free to continue to pray and just enjoy his presence.